This is August 12, 1994, a Course in Miracles seminar in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Good morning, Mary Margaret.
I'm really very glad to be here for various reasons, but the main one is that 17 years ago, when I was really wondering, you know, why do we live and why did we even consider it? it seems like a very poor choice. Out of my own personal agony, I was sent notice of the Course in Miracles. And now we're talking 17 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, when it came in its funny little old way of being presented. And it just changed my life. And the one part of it that was most interesting, which ended up being the most interesting, was that one little line that says something like, the purpose of this course, I mean, I'm plagiarizing, this isn't what it said, I'm sure, but the purpose of the course is to get in touch with your inner guide. Remember that part? And I read that and I said, oh yeah, sure, you know. Well, it was within just a few weeks after I began the course in September, and it was in December that this whole extravaganza that's become Bartholomew began. And of course it began, I honestly think, that a lot of it is due to the truth that I felt in the Course. And the amazing doorway that it provided. And so I'm here with intense gratitude, you know, to the Course, to those who began it, to all of those of you who have continued it, and thank you, because it's wonderful. And I go all over the world, and you're all over the world. You know, the questions come everywhere, in all countries. And thank you. That's all I have to say. And now let's turn it over to the boss, so. Wow, good morning, my friends. And it's good to be here. And let's just begin with what I think is a very important question, which fortunately feeds into what I was hoping to say. Were we sent here, or did we choose to come? Was our choice a choice of separation? One of the most exciting things about being a human being, a being that is limitless, pretending to be a human, understand? A limitless being that is pretending to be a human in order to be able to experience humanness in addition to beingness, and to move through certain patterns to bring those two seemingly separate moments into one unified, exciting, bliss-filled, absolutely wondrously mysterious whole. And so the purpose to how to answer why is in its essence one of those questions that you can start at the top of the pyramid and give the most esoteric answer. Why? Because. And that's that. Why? Because. And so why this flip answer to this very poignant question? Because, unfortunately, and please understand, I mean this with all of the depths of power, unfortunately, the finite mind, the finite logic of human consciousness is not capable of understanding deeply, fully, completely these majestic patterns of consciousness. The amazingly beautiful, vibrant, alive patterns of consciousness. And they are not always available to finite mind. And so when you take finite mind and say, show me, it is very much like taking a flashlight and saying, show me the universe, and show me past the universe. And the flashlight says, well, I'd love to, sweetie, but I can't make it. You know, I don't have the capabilities. I would love to. I have all the intention and the integrity, but I cannot do it. And I cannot do it because I am what I am, which is a limited, magnificent limitation. And so when you begin to ask these big questions like why, we begin by simply being aware of the importance of in this creation, as you experience it now, as separation, there is as a beautiful potentiality in the middle of that to really wake up. However the Course in Miracles states that, whatever words, to wake up, to leave behind the very limited and very unreal reality that you have taken to be so real, to drift in whatever way through the various clouds of confusion, ever and ever deeper and deeper into clarity, into the light-filled awareness, and finally, if I could use the analogy, to break through into the clarity of coming up out of the clouds into the vast sky of pure awareness. And that being the goal, what you always know is that inside of yourself, in spite of all of your doubts about yourself, about your path, about can you do it, about is this right, should I really be a born-again Christian, or am I fooling myself? You know, all of those questions that come up. I ask you to identify and to hold on to is that somehow inside of you, you know you are on the right track. Do you not? Isn't there some place in you that says, there are times when I doubt, there are times when I'm confused, but I honestly, with my being, feel myself to be on my way to awakening to my true being. And then you relax and allow that which has always been in charge. You see, there's this little pretense that you play. You see, you know, you are a little one in the back seat of an automobile with your little plastic driving wheel, and you say, I'm driving this car, and you're very forgetful that it is a beautiful, you know, a limousine, and that there is someone in charge, and there's the limousine itself, and then the fuel that runs it, and the so forth. And so the little one in the back, because the reason you get deluded is that sometimes when you turn to the left, the Mercedes turns to the left. But you don't notice the times that you turn to the left and it goes to the right. Or that when you turn to the right and it goes straight. You are not aware of this. Do you understand? You are so addicted, if I might use this, to the compulsion of proving you are in charge, that you only notice those things that fill in your own desire, which is me. The dilemma of human life, my friends, is me. The idea of me, mine, separate from yours, or even worse, separate from theirs. You know, you may have some people on your side, but then there's always them. And no matter how you split up the world, until you awaken up into that amazing clarity of the one self, you will continue in one form or other to believe in me. And so, what are you being asked to do? Well, in the way that we would describe it, please understand, let's not get caught in words, let us just understand the feelings so that we can blend in our similarities and not get lost in our dissimilarities, all right? So then, what then are we speaking of? We are speaking of the moment by moment excited, exhilarating potentiality of awakening to what is truly there. Not the camouflage as you experience it, not the separation and division and them and me, but the reality. Every awakened one has said the same thing. Whatever route they have taken, on that moment when the illusion cracks and the reality presents itself, what do they say? They start saying, there is but one, and there is no separation in the one, none, nothing. It is never up for discussion. And then people try to pull them back, well, what about the realm of the archangels? And they smile. There's no response. Because from that top of the pyramid, there is only one reality. There is but one. And it is, this in your human condition, it is your sensory world that has split the vast oneness into its separated forms. And you, of course, are addicted to these separated forms, and therein lies your place to be honest. You, many of you, in fact, all of you, or you wouldn't be sitting here in a body, or else you'd be sitting here and wouldn't even need to be here at all, are still addicted to, in some way, this idea of being a seeker, of finding something, of making the world better, of somehow making yourself better. There's this, do you understand? Seeking is a wonderful game. Look, it takes you to angel fire. And look at you, here you are. Amazing, you spend all this money, and here you are in this beautiful place. You get to make dates, you get to have fun, have a little romance, who knows what's happening. All right, fine. All that's wonderful. But the whole point here is you don't, excuse me, All Course in Miracles advocates, you don't need to be here. You don't need to listen to this. What you need to do is to, for one exalted moment, say something like, what I am seeking is what I already am. What is now. What is, what I desire is already present. In fact, my yearning and my desire is that thing itself. There is no separation in one particle of being from another particle of being. So that means whatever is being presented is it. And you say, this is it? This is it? This is the best that can be happening? My answer is, if you allow yourself to be caught in that very interesting level of the personal me, the personal I of the drama of the created separation, then of course you have endless rules to follow, you have endless things to know, you have endless gods to appease, and you have diets to follow, and you have, do you understand? You have all the rules. The minute you accept that you are indeed separate and need to go somewhere to get something, then all the rules arise. What we are saying is, you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard. You are trying to find what you already are. You are trying to find something in a somewhere distant state. I mean, at least you don't believe it's on Pluto or Neptune, you know, and that's a good help. But there is still this idea that it isn't now, that it isn't this moment, that it isn't as it is. It's got to be different. Something in me has to slip, has to change, has to be transmuted, has to be, loved. And then we throw in all of psychology, you can't find God until you love yourself. Well, if you're waiting for that, you have a long wait. I want to tell you, to truly love yourself is to find that you go through endless layers. And of course it's helpful, of course it's helpful. Because when you begin, why therapize? Why go to therapy? Well, if you choose to go to therapy, the one thing, and please excuse this heresy, the one thing that happens in therapy is finally you begin to relax. Finally, don't you? Finally, you say, all right, I'm not so bad. I've taken care of all this debris, and this part of my shadow is present, and this part is present, and I understand. And what happens to you as a physical conscious being? You relax. You sit down, you say, well, I'm taking care of my mess, my shadow's now out here instead of back here, and everybody's telling me that my shadow is better, and I'm getting better, and my relationships are getting better. And so you have this idea that you're getting better, and in that moment, what happens inside of you is a cellular total relaxation. You then allow yourself to feel safe enough in your body, in your emotions, and in your mind that you will relax into the physical body. And when you relax, that's when God hits you. Right then. When you have stopped trying to be different than you are, when you have stopped trying to be some idea out of a conglomerate of people's ideas of what you should be, not only culturally, but familiarly, and so on, all of a sudden, what therapy says is, you can relax, dear. You're all right. Not perfect, but all right. Do you understand? Not perfect, but all right. And in that all rightness, then all of that mental striving, all that thinking that separates you from being, allows itself to subside. Something magic happens. And in that moment, in that open cellular, open-hearted relaxation, the mystery comes. In your words, the miracle arises. A miracle happens then. And so all of this scurrying around, be it as it may, is only, please excuse this, you're only trying to keep occupied until you awaken. You're just keeping yourself very busy until the moment when you will finally accept the good news, if you like the term. And what is the good news? This is it. This is it. This moment. You as you are, without additions or subtractions, without more of this and less of that, without a perfect birth under auspicious astrological sign. It is possible now, in the midst of the worst astrological sign. In fact, I wish one of you would awaken with the most abominable sign. And then all that can be put to rest. All these ideas that this state that is ever present as a pulsating potentiality every moment of your life is possible now. When are you going to accept that it is you and it is now? And that there is no separation now. Without qualification now. It comes in a moment, and all of the seeking has as its point that moment. So keep on seeking. Do all the things you want to do. Do them again and again with intensity and integrity and drama and pathos and all that. Do it. But understand what you're doing. What you are truly doing is just simply all trying to move toward that one miraculous moment when you say, I can't do this. I have tried it all. I've tried every meditation practice, every position. I've given up everything. I've taken on everything. I've been to the Himalaya. If you've been to the Himalaya and haven't had it, now you're really in trouble. And if you even set it up worse, which some of us did, to go to the Himalaya with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and you still didn't get it, now you are really in trouble. You understand? Because it is in the mind, that place in the mind that says, it's not here. I have to seek it. I have to find it. It is not here. Now, I think a very obvious question that arises now is, all right, you old windbag up here, that's this here, speaking, a big bag of wind. Do you know what bag of wind really means? It's a nice word. Well, in its original, it meant the wind of knowledge, the wind of knowing, the wind of inspiration. So, I'm being only half nasty. The question arises, all right, if it's here and now, then why don't I know it? Why am I unhappy? Why am I filled with misery? Why do I feel separate? Why am I struggling for something? Why, if it's so ever-present? You have to be crazy to tell me it's here. My life is in total disarray. Good question? All right. And the joke is you already know the answer, but let's pretend you don't. You see, we're only playing a joke. This is the self talking to the self. Or in your words, I suppose, this is God talking to God. There's no separation here. Any separation you make is on your on your side. There's but one thing. This is you talking to you. All right? So there's nothing new to be learned. We're just pretending so you could come and enjoy yourself. All right? It's much more fun than sitting in the dark alone in your apartment reading a book, you see? And listening to the cars go past your window. So here we are. So we pretend that there's something special here and nothing special there. Something there that needs to know something from it. All illusory. All totally illusory. There is but one awareness, and it has tremendous ability to take on different forms and to speak in different ways at different times. And you're speaking from there, and this from there, and it's all the same thing. So what is the answer? The answer is so simple that the first response of the conscious mind is, I don't believe it. And the second one is the ego saying, oh, I understand that, and then forgetting it. Understand? The job of the ego is to say, oh, I understand, and then forget the whole thing. That is the ego's job, to let you know that you have heard something, and when you think you've heard it, the mind takes it in, the ego says, yes, yes, I understand, that's fine, that's beautiful, it's right here, and it's now, and it's me, and then you forget it. And you go swimming or do something, it's finished, and that might as well never have been said, in the sense that the ego's job is to keep pretending that it understands. The only part of you that understands is the part of you that is totally, fully, completely awake and alive, which is ever present. So what is the solution? Excuse me when I become vernacular and say, shut up and be aware of it. Be still, be silent, not in the sense of not speaking. I learned long ago, we've been doing this, 17 years now. I learned the one thing you don't say to humans is don't talk. That they don't like that. They enjoy talking because they feel that in this exchange of verbal symbols that they learn something. And on one level, I will absolutely agree. You learn what other people's verbal symbols are. That's what you learn. Whether you learn much after that, I am not sure. But I do know one thing. I no longer say be silent in the sense of don't talk. So now we have to take it to a deeper level, because there is, without any trouble in you, the ability to be ongoingly silent within, in the midst of the most dynamic, alive, creative world. There was a question that says, there is this seeming bifurcation between that part of consciousness that wants to act and create and make beautiful books or pictures or create new political systems or to take care of those in need or to take care of the homeless. There is in each one of you a world server. Make no mistake. If each one of you is a world server, you never would have been drawn to this particular work, not this, but your own Course in Miracles, if you were not on some level a world server, meaning that you understand that there are those that are crying, that there are those that are absolutely weeping in despair with no knowledge of how to awaken, and you understanding by some grace, by some unknown mysterious grace, you have an inkling that there is something that can be done. That this dark, seemingly hopeless planet in some way can move into the light. You have an inkling in the beginning of your journey that that is true. And at that moment, you become a world server. What you call yourself is your business. But you become a world server, willing to serve the world in whatever way the great, magnificent, overwhelming God awareness chooses for you to serve. And that part is none of your business. How you serve is not your business. That you are willing to serve is your business and is that which motivates your lives. And so most of you in this room have that sense of wanting to help this very, very painful planet to come to some kind of peace. And something in you has caught on to this idea, and so you follow and you begin your work. And as you begin to do this, you begin to understand deeper and deeper that that which is going to bring peace to the planet is not action, although you will act, but it is something quite different. It is that which I suppose in your work is called the Holy Spirit. It is that which you would call the God of all, that all in all, that which is what in this work we call the self, capital S, yes, in self, makes no difference what word, but you as you move deeper and deeper into your path, as you go from path to path, there's nothing wrong with going from path to path, as long as when you leave one, you leave it like this, with your heart full of gratitude, with some form of thank you deeply from the very boundless part of being that says thank you, and move on not out of some kind of disappointment and anger and resentment, but from that awareness that says, well, thank you, and now something different. Do you understand? And this wonderful allowing of spirit to move you from one kind of motion to another, from one kind of understanding to another, is that which brings you deeper and deeper into your path, because, my friends, you are your path. You are the way to your truth and your light. And however you interpret all of this beautiful work in the Course in Miracles, in the end, it is your translation, it is your understanding that brings you home. And if you get stuck with somebody else's translation, you're finished. Do you understand? You know what I hope never happens to this course? Is that it becomes the doctrine according to the Course in Miracles. So that 20 years from now, those who are having other experiences are being said, you can't believe that. Why not? Well, because it's not in the original book. Then where are you different from the Roman Catholics? Or the born-agains, you know, with that translation? I don't know whose feet I'm stepping on, but that's all right. Mary Margaret's leaving right after this. So there's no... Let me make this more personal. Sometime in the spring, the work that has been going on here, this business of whoever, Bartholomew and Mary Margaret and Justin and Joy and so on, all is going to end. Finished. All right. Now, at that moment, if anyone says after that, Bartholomew says, I'm taking away their Bartholomew card. Do you understand? The minute the teaching stops, then from that moment on, the teaching is personal, interpersonal, inside of each person's being. The presentation of the material was of any true body of information was not meant to be static and dead and go on for 2,000 years as is. The body of information as given into a creative modality such as your lives is meant to be taken, inspire inside of you endless fire points. This is it for me. This is it for me. I'm this. I believe that. Who knows where you'll end up? But do you understand? Am I hurting your feelings? All right. Because if you just realize this is the grace, this is the breath, this is the out-breath, then you've got to do the in-breath and the out-breath. You've been given one breath. The rest is up to you. As it is with this business of Bartholomew, it's just the beginning. It's just the breath. It's just words. You just begin, and then you make it your own. And the parts of this course that are you, that's you. And then you say, I believe. Not the Course believes. Not, you know, jargon around, but out of your own experience, which then allows this majestic wonder of all. I'm not just speaking to the Course, I'm speaking equally to the people who listen to Bartholomew, because this tape is going to be sent to them. So you see, I'm listening, I'm talking to them as well, you see. Never believe that any alive information is meant to stagnate. It is meant to be taken by all of that amazing creative spirit in all of you and played through your system in your way. And you will come out with many different ways, many different approaches, many different understandings. It is that where we're begging. For example, there's an interesting movement afoot, and I'd like to just refer to it because I think it's fascinating. It's one of those places where psychology and spirituality are beginning to intermesh. It doesn't always happen, but it's happening. And where it's happening here is, in many ways, but in this particular, is for a long time, the therapists of the world have been, well, excuse me, the Western world. I don't know if they have them in the East, but in the Western world, men, very stuffy, dignified men, are having dreams of the goddess. And they're going to their therapist and they're saying, excuse me, but I don't understand this, because it's obviously not their next mistress, because here comes the goddess. And she comes on in her empowered form and says, you've forgotten me. That's what she says. You've forgotten me. All right. Now, what does this mean? And all I'm saying is psychologically and spiritually, there is something afoot. And if we can just play very easily with it and not make it feminine and masculine, but just be aware that there is some kind of information that has been forgotten that is screaming to be held. And I'm not talking about the feminine. I'm talking about the absolute opportunity for the first time in endless eons when man and womankind has the opportunity to awaken to their true nature. It has never been as auspicious in thousands of years. Now. By why? By grace. You know, that's it. It's the grace. It is the endless yearning of the hearts of so many that are calling down and through a grace that will present the teachings and present your ability to hear the teaching. And that is the important thing. You can hear the teaching and not hear it. But you have been given, and isn't this grace? The ability to hear, not with these ears, but to hear with your being. Being is exploding and saying, my God, I can find it. I can be it. I can breathe it. I can live it. I can walk around in a confused, chaotic world in bliss. I can. I can. And I don't have to be anybody other than me. I can do it. And do you understand that feeling in you? Isn't it there? And you know, this wonderful course which takes you through day after day after day, very clever, you know, very clever. All they're doing is every day, remind you, every day, you're asleep every day, and they say every hour, you're every day, every, you know, it's wonderful. I love it. It's absolutely superb. It is an absolutely magnificent presentation of this, you know, because you have no teachers to hit you over the head. You know, in the old days, you'd sit around and you'd start to space out about what your lunch was going to be, and bunk, here comes the stick, you know, here comes the Zen stick, bang, what are you doing, get out of your mind, and so on, so on. Well, you don't have these sticks, so you have a stick, it's called the Course. It's called the Course in Miracles. Properly used, magnificent stick. Awaken! Awaken now, this hour, this week, this day, now. Now, now, now. And that wonderful, wonderful page where all you do is wander around feeling one word, God. All day, all night, God. Now, sometimes it'll be, oh, God. And sometimes it'll be, God, 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 God. But there will be enough God coming up out of being God. Wonder of wonder, God. Wonder of wonder, there is a God. Wonder of wonder. And what is required on your side, as you well know, is just willingness. Willingness. And many of the questions deal, of course, with forgiveness, because this is a large part of your work. And I won't need to go into it a lot, because you are very, you know, I think very clear on that. But I will just say, in connection with willingness, that there can be no forgiveness without willingness. And there can be no willingness without forgiveness. So they blend together in one heart throb. So if you come at it as willing to forgive with your teeth clenched because you want to know God, that's good enough. Do you understand? If you're one of those that has such a difficult life that you cannot approach forgiveness open-heartedly, but you know inside of yourself you're yearning to awaken to your true nature, so you grit your teeth and you say, all right, I'm willing to forgive, that's good enough. Because it is that willingness that will lead you to the total truth of being, of the God being. And on the other side, if you have a yearning to forgive because you've understood, it's very funny, you forgive because it's so uncomfortable, don't you? Yes, and when you've, aren't you? When you haven't forgiven, what happens? You know, you're not comfortable, you're not comfortable. Your mind is filled with unforgiving thoughts. And so all of a sudden you realize, I am tired of my unforgiving thoughts. I have the foggiest notion how to forgive, but I'm willing to forgive. So if there's anybody out there that knows how to forgive, help me to forgive. All right? And then here we have it again. The moment of the relaxation of the self that says, by myself, I can't do any of this. And that openness that allows that to come in instantly, completely, and totally. Does the lack of forgiveness arise again? Yes. And so what happens? The same thing. The letting go of the thought, it is, you know, not forgiving is just a thought. All of this business is only thought. All of the humbug of your lives, you know full well, comes from thought. All right? Now, I would like to steal some thunder from a very excellent book whose name I hope I can remember. Just give me a moment. Consciousness Speaks. All right? And the author is beyond me to remember. But anyway, wonderful text. Discusses a lot about the difference between working mind and thinking mind. And just for a moment, I would like to make the difference. Because one of the problems when you say to people you think too much is they don't know what to do with that because they have their lives to live. And what he postulates is something very interesting, I feel, which is that working mind is that which sits down and balances the checkbook. Thinking mind is the one that looks at the bottom and says, there's not enough money, I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage. If I can't pay my mortgage, I'm going to be left out on the street. And within 20 seconds, you have gone from sitting in your chair to being out on the street without a house. And nothing has changed. You are still who you are. Nothing is different, but do you understand? You're finished. Or you wake up in the night and you have a thought. I have an ache in my right side. Oh my God, I've got cancer. I've got cancer of the whatever, and I'm going to die, and what should I do? And within minutes, you are embroiled in a nightmare. And what has happened? You probably have gas in your stomach. But the thinking mind takes you endlessly, spinning you down roads that you will never trod. You know these facts. Over 95% of the thoughts that you think today, you will think tomorrow. Isn't that stimulating? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fabulous? And the saddest part of that extra 5% has a tendency to look like the other 95% because they like attracts like. So we are talking about a mess. And one of the exercises we have given in this work for years is 6 hours of writing without stop, without speech, only exception to use the bathroom. Other than that, for 6 hours, if you want to bore yourselves to death, you sit around with your thoughts for 6 hours, and you will understand what is meant by 95% of the thought. It's like sitting in this tepid bathwater day after day after day. Now, you think that the way out is you go to A Course in Miracles, and somebody takes a gallon of fresh water and sticks it in your bathtub. You think, oh, good, now I'm fine. You're still in the same bathtub. You have gotten now a gallon of water, or let's go to a Bartholomew talk. Same thing, a gallon of water, which doesn't do a lot in the end. Something radical has to be understood here. And what is radical is to really realize that there is working mind, which is exciting, delightful. You're planning your next trip. You're planning the canvas for your next painting. You're planning what to do when your grandchildren, I don't know, whatever that is, that excited, dynamic, alive, sparkling mental approach, beautiful. That's it. And then the drift over. Well, what if I can't get the rental car? Well, what if I get down there and one of them is sick and throws up all over the car? And what if I get to the pool and there's no... You're endless, 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 and you're gone. There is nothing happening. You are in tepid bath water, simply poisoning yourself. And please, my friends, I know you all know this. I'm simply here to mirror back the truth. Stop it! You see... Who is in control? The being of your being. The being of your being. And the moment, for even a moment, that you align with that being to let go and stop it, it will stop. Not I will stop it, like a little 3-year-old standing at the beach in Hawaii when Hurricane Iniki's coming across. I will stop this. You see, that's not the idea. But the one that simply relaxes with clear knowing that this endless repetitive thinking is bringing the humbug and the pain and the fear, which results in physical pain and physical and emotional tension. All of it can be stopped in the moment now. It's not difficult. All you have to do is be willing. But the reason you're not willing most of the time is you have this illusion, which the ego is there to really enforce, that if you don't keep thinking, your life is going to become a mess. Isn't it what you think? If I keep thinking on this problem long enough, I'll figure it out. Well, do you? Or is it something more like you worry yourself to death, you finally fall into bed, you wake up the next morning, and it's there. Oh, well, that's a good idea. I wonder if I should try that. I'm trying to say that thinking mind gets you in trouble. Working mind, or whatever, creative, dynamic mind, whatever words you want, are essentially magnetically wondrous. And when you drop it, you allow the space for what is always present, which is intuitive, magnificently alive, creative potentiality of God to be there. How else can God help? You know, everybody says, help me, I need help. And you know, it's like this. You get on your knees and you pray, God, this is my problem. 25 minutes later, you've described the problem, and you haven't stopped for a moment. God is just waiting, ready. I'm totally talking in stories now. God is waiting to answer, and you get up and leave. Because you've been spending 25 minutes. Now listen, what you have to know is the background. This is my background, this is their background, and this is what I need, this is what I want. All of this is thinking mind, talking. Does this mean that there's no place for prayer? Of course not. But prayer is not, you know, yelling at God and, you know, demanding and complaining and, you know, get a therapist, you know. It's fine. But the power of prayer, you all know this, the power of prayer comes from that magnificent moment of sitting down and saying, I don't have the foggiest idea. I don't know what to do, how to do it, who to do it with, who not to do it with, how to get it, how to keep it away, how to get rid of it. Here I am. And in that acknowledgement of no knowledge, in that acknowledgement of that thinking mind and all of the pressures of the world are not there for you to answer that question, in that letting go in the absolute exhaustion, then you just sit and do nothing. You do no thing. You simply open and do no thing. You know this. I am not telling you new information. I'm just the mirror that says, please, remember your own wisdom. Remember everything that you know deeply within the being of your being. And just as many of those moments every hour that you can manage, every moment that you can just, in the middle of your very interesting lives, to just let go and say, do me, find me, inspire me, help me, and wait. A waiting that isn't waiting. A waiting that has almost no expectation in it, other than the expectation of the bliss of just being there. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you relax into the moment without any expectation of anything coming to you or being given to you or inspiring you, this is an important statement, then you're simply sitting there for God itself. Not for any planned or agenda of your own, not for any imagined agenda of God, but just for the incredible bliss of experiencing your nature, pristine and intimate and now. God for its own sake, not for any other reason, but because of the incredible bliss of just being with that. No needs, no requests, no complaints. Just in this moment, my heart wells up with joy to just be here with what is always here, which can never leave because it is everywhere in all things and in all time. God for God's own sake. Not to fix your life, but just the beloved for the beloved's sake. Itself. Anything? Yes. Well, you look familiar. Good morning, my friend.
You have turned another. waiting without waiting?
Yes.
Could you expand on that a little more?
All right. I'd like to thank you. It's a good question. She says, what about this waiting without waiting, to expand? I would like you to understand what it is you've been doing, however many years you have been on this journey to awakening. All right? What you have been doing and listening to all kinds of things, reading all kinds of texts, going to all kinds of very useful workshops, what is happening? What is happening is that the truth, if with a capital T, begins to permeate. People say, why read? Read because as you read, it begins to permeate. It just begins to settle into the cellular structure. It settles into the mind. It settles into the emotions. It's as if you begin to enter a much more etheric, open realm of awareness. And it settles in, so you begin to understand more and more and more. For example, if you're all being honest, and I know that you would be, you must admit that you are not the same person when you started this course. Is that not true? Endlessly different, huh? All right. You, and it's a combination of the magic of the course itself and the magic of you. And the magic of you sitting and reading and working and doing whatever you're doing, which... Well, all it's doing is allowing you to immerse yourself into the nature of truth. Immerse yourself into the nature of reality rather than unreality. Remember Francis, lead me from the unreal to the real. Same thing. Nothing's changed, ladies and gentlemen. Same process. And whatever way that you choose to immerse yourself in truth, as you understand it at that moment, it permeates all parts of being. And when we say to you today to just be there for God itself, the beloved itself, without any desire for it to do something for you, you now understand on one level that truth that was already embedded in you, Cindy. It's nothing new. I didn't think it up. It's there. Now you remember. Do you see? It's a re-remembering. This is what the Course does. It reminds you. Look, if the Course presented anything new, then throw it in the trash or use it as a doorstop. Because if it's totally new information, it's not useful. It is only a mirror of the deepest truths that lie within all of beingness. People say to me often, how can you believe or talk in terms of a positive Course in Miracles and at the same time Buddhism? How can you, speaking to this, align these two seemingly different worlds? And the answer is very simple. The answer is very simple. There are different attributes of every human being. When you take physical form, however temporary and illusory those attributes, they are there. Do you agree? Do you understand what I mean? They may be illusory, but you've got them. There's a lot of difference between somebody who's very happy-go-lucky and somebody who's totally frightened. Those are attributes. And most of them come before birth. And then the life activates the attribute. All right? And that's a whole other subject. Never mind. All right. But nevertheless, the truth here is that having different attributes, different inclinations to certain kinds of truth, you find yourself sitting here rather than in Nepal or rather in Ceylon or wherever you might be, according to the attributes. And so because of the attributes, certain teachings are presented and they are filtered through the attributes. But the end result, ladies and gentlemen, is the same whether you are a Buddhist or a Christian or a Jew or an Islam believer. It is the same. And it just filters itself gently and sweetly through your process. And you get closer and closer to the intimate truth of all awareness, which is there is but one. And so when all of the different pathways are seen in their depths, they all lead to one magnificent pool of truth. And however you choose to move through, that's your way. And everyone is doing it in their own way. And strangely enough, those people who are wreaking chaos all over the planet are also doing the same thing. Am I going on too long? they are doing the same thing as well. In their own very torqued, confused, fearful way, they are doing the same thing. Looking for that great pool of truth that is deeply embedded in all of being. And so what I say is, let's have as many true paths. And the wonder of yours, it is true. There are some that are not so true. This is true. Followed with that intensity and good humor and integrity, it will cut away all of the illusion of the separated and will reveal in a flash of knowing that there is but one. And there is but one, and there is but one. And that self is not different from this self, and those from this, it is one. One amazingly united, illusory reality. And then the truth breaks, and you know who you are. So Cindy, just be willing to sit not for one's own gain, to be willing to just sit, to just be with the beloved, if that's how one thinks about it. If that doesn't please you, whatever word, fill in the blanks. Just to be willing, and I want you to know, that's all that's required, because out of that willingness and the settling down, then the real is revealed. The real is revealed. But prayer done from the depth of being, ah, wonderful, wonderful, majestically magnetic. But please don't forget, after the prayer, the silent waiting, the bliss of just being, right there, right now. And if the grace descends and you are answered, fine. If it does not, the grace is still there. So fine. It is not in anything other than being itself that your peace comes. In blending with God itself is where your peace comes. You know this. I'm simply here as a colorful parrot to parrot back to you until that moment that you decide to say, I am. I am the I am, God itself. Yes, my friend.
Did you talk about manifesting in the physical? I read in your book.
Uh-oh, that's always a bad sign. I read in your book. That is the...
about the creatures.
Do you want to manifest in the world?
Well, I've had some problems with... I felt like I've not been able to manifest the relationships in my business environment that I really thought I was yearning for.
You may not like my answer. Shall I just go ahead and give it? I don't care. No. It's a very harsh response because, for example, what if you had said, my beloved child is in tremendous pain and is dying. And for me to say, I don't care, would come from a totally heartless place. So I'm speaking to a mature audience, all right? So I'm not speaking to just someone's come to the Super Bowl. This is, you know. So the reason that one can say and mean from the depths of total love, it doesn't matter, means that in, you see, you say that you wanted to create a certain environment, certain relationships, because you thought that those relationships would be the best for your happiness, your spiritual awakening. What I would like to suggest is that it just might be, that the most exciting, absolutely electrifying awakening could happen in the midst of all of the imperfect relationships that are there in your life. That their imperfection may be the perfection that you need for your awakening. All right, do you understand? Because, you know, for example, you can look at the television now, and you can say, look at those poor children, and with great empathy and pathos, all right? But do not make the second projection, which say they're worse off than we. Because if we are speaking about spiritual awakening, which is the only thing I ever talk about, who is to say whether middle-class America is on a lesser path? How do you know that being comfortable and sitting in your middle-class life might in some way be less enthusiastic for awakening than the desperate ones who are now going through their pain and suffering? I'm not saying this is true, but do you know if it is not true? You see, so I'm saying, always understand, I want you, please, there's another question about co-creation. Whenever you are in the midst of something, you have to understand that this is from the self of God. In some way, as torqued and painful, there is that God directive there.
I believe that too.
Good. But you see, do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all coming, you know, it's kind of coming to a conclusion in this episode of this drama. And it's opening other doors, but it's kind of mystifying me. I guess I didn't know the driver of the car was turning left and I was turning right.
Yes, and this is why I suggest, with all honesty, that you let go the wheel and let it happen. In the end, what I would say to you, all of you, is to let go and allow. The moment will present itself as it does. If in this moment you are moved to pray, pray. Pray fully, totally, completely. If in this moment you are moved to investigate a new position, investigate it. In this moment, if you are moved to do X, do it. In this moment, whatever, but at the same time that you are moved to action, please remember who's doing the acting. The confusion that ego is doing the acting on massive scale is why the mess is so huge. Nothing that is brought into creation is ever brought into it without the total potentiality of the God force using it to awaken. Nothing. Every action, no matter how difficult, has as its potentiality in that moment that awakened. And it may be that some of those children have selected this kind of a incarnation for to deprive themselves in some way of body pleasure so that what is left is what they feel, which is the eternal presence of the God Self itself. How do you know? Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying? On the highest level, whatever is present is a gift. You can either use it to release yourself from the illusion of separation, or you can jump into the drama and get very judgmental and polarized, or you can learn the easiest of all human tactics, which is to just step back one small step and to allow yourself to simply observe, not without heart, but just to observe. And in that silent listening, in that silent hearing, that silent seeing, the camouflage of separation dissipates and the truth is the revealed. It is far easier to awaken to your true nature than to manifest different things. You know why? Because your true nature is real. Because your true nature is ever present, ever constant, ever pulsating now. Doesn't have to be earned or found. It doesn't have to be discovered or analyzed. It is present now. The only true thing, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I've stepped on some toes, and I'm sorry. That's all right. Oh, well, it's what it is. It may not be all right, but it's what it is. I want to ask you something. In this moment, sitting in this room, what is the only thing that you know, not think, not hope, not believe, there's only one thing that you know, and that is that you are. That's all you know. I am. You am. That's it. That's all you know. Anything past that is I am, and then the mind takes over. And you could say to yourself, and this is big difference, I am a daughter. Now let's see, I have six children. You go home to find out that you don't. You were sitting here thinking you had six children and you don't. All right? I have a very sick mother. And you go home and you find, no, I don't. I have a very happily released mother. Do you understand? What do you know about yourself? There's only one thing. You are. That is the end of your knowing that you are. I am. That is the only statement that is true. Everything else is conceptualization. But you know I am. You know the I am. Now, where you confuse it is you say the I is the me, and you get caught into the ego, which takes you into endless other roads. All I'm asking is you stick with all that you know, which is I am. The I of the I am is that which is the deep self, is that which is the God self. That is the I. And that is what is constantly present in every moment, no matter how many me's are present. You have an endless succession of me's running through every moment of your life. Moment after moment after moment. Different me's manifesting. But the I of your I never changes. And it is constant. You are never confused. You never wake up and say, let's see. Am I me or am I him? You know, You know. I. Identifiable at any time, at any place. No matter what the circumstance, there is absolutely present in every one of you, every moment, this throbbing knowledge of being, which is I am. And everything after that, conceptualization. But that I am is the I am of the truth. And you hold to that as the reality of being, and all the rest comes and goes, all the me's, the different faces, the different attitudes, opinions, judgments, they rise and they fall, and they rise and they fall in the arena of the I am, which is eternally the same. And that's what you're trying to realize. And it is all of this filter of the me's that keeps the I am from revealing itself. So what we say is, if you just be silent, not in the sense of not speaking, but to be silent in that inward silence that is constantly remembering, all I really know is I am. If you would just remember that, because in that I am is the God. In that I am is the reality, the true reality, the light of the light within the light, the heart within the heart, the breath within the breath, all of that, that's it. The I. Majestically, I am. I am that I am. That is truth. Everything else, temporary and pure conjecture. You say, I know I am a child of God. Well, if you know that, why are you here? Anything after I am, not so sure. But to hold and to recognize and to rejoice and to submerge yourself into the only thing that you know, into the only safety, is to be free, is to be at peace. You want peace? Stay in your I am. Allow yourself to do all that you have to do. Yes, abundantly with fun and joie vive. Yes, but all the time. Or be miserable. That's the other option. You can be miserable, totally, completely, you know, depressed and miserable, and that's fine too. No difference, as long as, because you see, you're only pretending to be sick or pretending to be depressed because you are the I. And I want you to know the I is never depressed. Excuse me. But nevertheless, that just to remember the remembrance of what do I know? Not what am I accumulating? What knowledge am I seeking? What do I know? I know I am. You don't wake up in the morning and say, am I the same I am that went to bed last night? You know, you're perfectly aware of you as I. And somebody says, well, how do you know it's the same I am? You were asleep all night. You don't remember. And you laugh. Thank you, because you know that the same I am that went to sleep is the I am that woke up. And of course, you were not having body awareness at night. You were not having dream awareness certain parts of night. You were absolutely immersed in the I am of the deep self in your sleep, which is what keeps you going, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And so you wake up and you never say, I wonder who I am. I wonder if I'm in this bed or that bed. You are. You know. That is the truth and the integrity of your God being, and that is what we ask you to hold to. Everything else is fun and conjecture and subject to change. What is not subject to change is I am. And you know this because you live it and breathe it and think it and sleep it, and you are it. You are never separate from, in the, you know, people, there's a new spiritual game. It's called, well, I have to remember that I am God, otherwise, what? The idea being, if I don't remember that I'm God, that I'm seeking God, or that I'm the self, that if I don't remember that somehow I'm not going to be the self, that somehow I'm not going to be that awareness, isn't that strange? It isn't your remembering that matters, my friends. In the midst of your forgetting, I am there. I'm speaking of the I am. Let me rephrase it so there's no confusion. In the middle of your forgetfulness, the I am is there. In the middle of your remembering, the I am is there. In the middle of anything, rage, happiness, service, disservice, in the midst of all duality, the I am is there. And that is what you're seeking, and it's what's already totally, perfectly manifest. Where can you go where your I am isn't? Now, you can make this as complicated as you want. And that's fun. You know, it's all hide and seek in the end. You know, God's looking for God that's pretending not to be God, so I have to hide. And then I get to find a little God, then I forget, and then I wake up, and then I forget, and all this. And in the end, there arises, by some magnificent grace, who knows why, in some lifetime, there arises the cry, I must know. I must know. I must know. I am no longer interested in the creation and the play of the opposites. I want to know now. And so, in that lifetime, there's absolute potentiality. And I want to tell you, and I will stake all of being on this, and I rarely speak this way, but this is the one statement I've made these last years. In the next 10 years, more of you will awaken to your true being than has happened in the last 10,000 years. Now is the time. That is my promise. Some of you couldn't care less about that, but that's fine. But still my promise. Now. For some tremendous act of grace, two things have come together. One, the worldwide distribution of the teachings that used to be wrapped in shrouds in places like Tibet, wrapped in shrouds in deep within the caves of all of the world. For some blessed grace, the teachings are now being spoken. The simple teachings, like your course, the simple teachings. And the second grace is that for some, again, mysterious reason, you're able to hear it. You understand? Beautiful. You are very wise to pick this time. And that's why there's so many of you. People say, why? Because this is the time for the truth of the light. This is the time. So wherever you are, and whatever it is you're doing, that's it. There's no way better than any other way. There's no life better than any other life. God has no favorites. So every consciousness on this planet has the same potentiality. One of the questions was, what is the truth about this 144,000 going to, what is it? Lift off or leave or, I'm sorry, I'm not clear on the teaching. I don't know about that. I don't know about who will go and who will stay. I know about the Bodhisattva vow, which states that until the last consciousness awakens, the vow states, I will stay and help. And that is a vow of total compassion, to help bring the clarity in the face of the illusion. So I don't know about that, but I do know that everyone on this planet, without exception, has potentiality for complete awakening. And you have to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, as I know you know, because if you think that you are a prime candidate, you may not be. Because you never know. You just never know. You know, it can be the drunk in the gutter who looks up at the sky, and in one moment the clouds move away and the moon is revealed and he or she awakens. You never know about yourself, about others. So please, all we ask is some kind of infinite excitement. Instead, you know, you can look at this globe and get infinitely depressed. We would like to suggest an alternative, which is infinite excitement, that in all of this fermentation, in all of this turmoil, in all of this confusion, in all of this pain and suffering and ripping away of the pleasures of the external world, what is absolutely there as a possibility, I didn't say a reality, a possibility is of the awakening of mass numbers of people to their true being, which is the God Self. Do you remember that wonderful story? There are two devotees sitting under the tree meditating, and the teacher comes up to one of them and says, "You, beautiful, two more lifetimes you will realize." He starts screaming and yelling, "What do you mean, two more lifetimes? I've done it all right. I've followed the teachings. I've given up everything. I've renounced," and so on. And he storms away. And the teacher looks at the second one and says, "And for you, 2,000 lifetimes." And he breaks into tears of joy and he says, "Thank you." He says, "Why are you thanking me? That's a long time." He says, "Because I know that someday it will happen." In that moment, the awakening. So, all I present to you is the absolute knowledge that the awakening, or whatever you call your journey's end, is absolutely possible. And it is possible now, in you. And I'm also asking that a lot of you get a little bit more excited about it so that this happens sooner. Because the truth of it is, we could use a little help out here. And a very, very straight statement, and we need help. And what does this mean? This means that as more and more of you awaken to the truth of being and drop from the illusions of the illusory creativity here that's going on, in mind and so forth, when you awaken out of the clouds into the brightness of the vast truth of being, then that truth will begin through you. Will no longer exist as a you, by the way, but that's also another thing. Will become dispersed into and become a part of the activating potentiality for your planet. Do you want to help? Wake up. Do you want to help? Find out who you are now. Why wait? Why wait? It's now. And what is required? To just be willing to be silent in the moment, in the internal silence of the moment, and let the true reveal itself to you endlessly. To just stop the idea that it is somehow separate from your breath, from your seeing, from your hearing, that it is somehow not present, and just Relax into being now. That I am that is present. Just keep aware of I am. How hard can that be since you are the I am? It's simple. And in that simplicity, truth reveals itself intimately, intimately, blissfully. Well, I am going to stop. I would like to thank you. You've been wonderful. Thank you.